Today, I'll be talking about Jacob's share in Laban's flock. You recall, Jacob had 12 sons and a daughter through his four wives. And after serving Laban for 14 years and more, Jacob wants to leave and go back to his home in Canaan. And so he wanted to leave Laban. And let me read to you in Genesis 30, 25. And he says this, Genesis 30, 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. And Laban persuaded Jacob to stay, as he saw God had blessed him. That means God has blessed Laban because of Jacob. We look at what Laban said to Jacob. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord have blessed me for thy sake. So Laban saw that he was prosperous because God blessed Jacob's work for him. And he wanted to persuade Jacob from leaving. So let us move on in the scripture reading. And what happens next was that Jacob was persuaded by Laban to stay. They agreed on the division of the flock for Laban and Jacob. So let me read verse 32 to verse 34. So this joint venture dividing the flock between Laban and Jacob was this. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So Jacob told Laban, I will go through your flock today, Laban's flock, and remove all those sheep and goats that are spotted, black or dark spots or black spots, like what you see in the picture in front of you. You have black sheep, you have white sheep with black spots, and you have black patches on the sheep. All those that has some black on it, or completely black, will be counted as Jacob's salary. So Jacob will get to own them. Yeah. So that was the agreement on this, on splitting of the cattle, of the sheep and goats. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before my thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. So he told Laban, in time to come, come and inspect my goats and sheep, and you find that there are those sheep and goats which are not spotted, not speckled. They are not mine. You can take them back. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. Laban agreed. So let us read on, verse 37 to 43. So there is a strategy behind what Jacob is doing. So the strategy is found in verse 37 to 43. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and pilled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. So Jacob took all the stems from these chestnut and hazel tree and then cut the stems and then peeled off the bark so that the whites inside will appear. Yeah. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flock came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. So he put all these rods into the watering trough. Watering trough is like a excavated or a place where the flocks come to drink water. And so at the bottom of the trough, he put all the rods where the goats and sheep will look at the rods when they come to drink, and then they will conceive. They will mate and conceive. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. So those flocks that came to drink, they saw the rods, and when they conceive the young calves that are spotted and speckled, like what you see in the screen here. So they are not pure white. Because they saw the rods, it's a mystery here. They conceived and gave birth to speckled and spotted sheep and goats. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. So Jacob took the stronger breeds to let them stare at the rods, and they conceived the stronger calves. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. So those weaker breeds, he did not put them to stare at the rods. And when they conceived, they conceived the weaker calves, and those are Laban's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and menservants and camels and asses. So through this process, Jacob prospered. Yeah, his cattle grew many, many times and became rich. Let us move on. So now we will watch a video, the video on how Jacob used a stem and peeled off the bark and put it in the trough and let the sheep and goats look at it, and they conceived spotted and speckled calves. So the video would have would give a better impression of what is the process. So please pay attention to the video. And again, I would like to caution you on inaccurate parts, the speeches between the characters, Jacob, Laban, are all made up by movie makers. They are not found in the Bible, so they are not accurate at all. But I would just like you to watch the story as depicted in scripture of how Laban and Jacob came upon this joint venture to divide the sheep and the goats, and how Jacob used this process, which God has advised him to do, to get more sheep and goat for himself. So let us watch the video.
You want to keep me here a prisoner?
No. You've earned dowries for my daughters. I'm honor bound to pay you. Name your price.
No, I don't want your silver. I don't want your gold.
But
I want to share in your flocks. I deserve that. Go through your entire stock. Remove all of your black lambs and all of your speckled goats. They will be my wages.
But all my sheep are white and all my goats are black. You'll have nothing.
I'll have all I need. I'm guided by the hand that showed me the gateway to heaven.
Then tell me the story again, please.
I told Laban that I would go through his flocks and pick out every black lamb and every speckled goat. They would be my wages. But Laban and his sons cheated and removed all the speckled goats and all the rams that were black. Then the angel of God appeared to me in a dream. So I took fresh rods of poplar and plane trees and peeled off strips of bark, exposing the white of the rods. I put the peeled rods in the water troughs and fixed some of them upright so that they were facing the she-goats that were on heat when they came to drink. Take the poles up when the weaker animals come to drink.
Why?
We want to breed from the strongest. They mated in front of the rods and gave birth to young that were striped and spotted and speckled. And now you see why I put my trust in the Lord.
It's sorcery.
It's robbery. And when Rachel has the child...
And the ewes gave birth to black sheep. So our wealth has increased.
Your son.
Joseph. We shall call you Joseph. It means the one who will add to our people. Joseph.
Joseph.
Last night, the Lord appeared to me again. It will soon be time to leave. I must do as God tells me. But I cannot force you to leave your father.
I think we should all do what God tells you.
So there you go. The video showing how Jacob stripped off the bark of the stems and put it in the water troughs for the sheep and goats to come and look at it. And then they conceive and give birth to calves, which are spotted and speckled sheep. So those spotted and speckled sheep would belong to Jacob, according to the agreement between him and Laban. So Bible commentators are of the view that God told Jacob the strategy to divide the flock so that God can bless Jacob with the sheep and goats. So God was with Jacob and prospered Jacob. Jacob had already served Laban 14 years and was tricked into marrying Leah. God saw the wickedness of Laban and was not with Laban. That's why God gave Jacob this process of sheep and goats, giving birth to speckled sheep and goats, which is to be owned by Jacob, right? So let us move on. So the comments here is, don't be a Laban. He took advantage of others and benefited through trickery and deceit. When Jacob first came, he fell in love with Rachel and wanted Laban to give permission for him to marry Rachel, and Laban agreed, provided Jacob served him 7 years. And he did exactly what was agreed. Jacob served 7 years of looking after his flock. And then on the day of the wedding, it was Leah who was married off to Jacob. So Laban tricked Jacob into marrying Leah, being the elder. And then when confronted by Jacob on his trickery, Laban told Jacob, "No, you work for me another 7 years, then you get Rachel." And then Jacob agreed again and worked another 7 years. So all in, he worked 14 years and more to marry Rachel and Leah. And even after 14 years, Laban was not prepared to let go of his good servant, because the servant has brought him riches. And he didn't want to. So there was this scheme whereby there's a division of sheep and goats to persuade Jacob to stay. And God blessed Jacob so much so that the sheep and goats all went to Jacob because of the speckled and spotted sheep. So Jacob learned his lesson not to take advantage and deceive others. And we see Laban practicing taking advantage of Jacob, deceiving Jacob, something that he had done earlier on in his life when he deceived Isaac, his father, and took advantage of Esau, and took advantage of Esau's birthrights and also his blessing from Isaac. So this trickery and deceit would not be new to Jacob, because he had practiced it in his earlier life. But then in Laban's, during the life when he was with Laban, he learned not to do it. And now he was taken advantage of, and trickery and deceit was practiced on him. We see that God came to the rescue here. God was the one who told Jacob, now you do this, you know, you take the stem of the tree, you peel it off, and then you get the goats and sheep to come and stare at it. They will give birth to spotted and speckled sheep, and those will be yours. So God helped the innocent Jacob in this case against the shrewd and cunning Laban. So what is the lesson that we learned? The spiritual lesson. Jacob learned his lesson not to take advantage and deceive others. And then God came to his rescue when Laban took advantage and deceived him. Have we learned our lesson? Have we been in the practice of deceiving others, taking advantage of others? Have we, in this pandemic, work from home diligently, finish our work, and deliver the products or the deliverables to our bosses? Or have we left the work undone? And when the deadline comes, you tell the boss, oh, we need more time because we don't have enough time. Or have we, during the Zoom session meeting with our company, switch off the image, video, and not attend the Zoom meetings and go on a frolic of our own, doing our own things, not caring what is the business activity or process that ought to be done, and therefore did not do the process required in the meeting and fail to deliver. So these are lessons that may be brought into our lives and spiritual lessons that we can learn from the lesson in Jacob. So in Galatians 6:7, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So if a man sows, taking advantage of other people, deceiving and other people, he will also reap, being taken advantage of and being deceived upon by others. So that is the spiritual lesson that we learn. It is so aptly put in scripture, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You sow deception, you get deception. You sow trickery, you get trickery practice on you. And let me move on. Yeah, on the subject of trickery and deceit, we have a lot of fake news in this time and age. And we also have scammers, the most recent being the OCBC phishing scam. And in a way, it is related because it is a practice of deceit and trickery. And I'd like you to watch this video on the COVID-19 in USA during the time of President Donald Trump, and how there were so many contradicting news that were coming up on the television, and you're just wondering what is true and what is fake. So let's watch fake news.
Coronavirus has claimed 350,000 lives in the United States, but tonight, Donald Trump says the soaring death toll is fake news. The country's top doctor was quick to retaliate as millions of Americans still ignore their health advice.
No masks, no social distancing. This pool party in Florida underway as the state logged record case numbers. And as the US COVID-19 death toll ticked over 351,000, the president declared it false, tweeting, "The number of cases and deaths of the China virus is far exaggerated in the United States because of the CDC's ridiculous method of determination, fake news." The nation's top health officials discrediting that claim within minutes.
From a public health perspective, I have no reason to doubt those numbers. And I think people need to be very aware that it's not just about the death. It's about the hospitalizations.
The deaths are real deaths. I mean, all you need to do is to go out into the trenches, go to the hospitals, see what the healthcare workers are dealing with.
Dr. Anthony Fauci's response exacerbating his tense relationship with Donald Trump, the president having the last word on social media. Dr. Fauci is revered by the lamestream media, yet he works for me and the Trump administration, and I am in no way given any credit for my work. Could this just be more fake news? Amid the politics, the US Surgeon General desperate to keep the nation's focus on the virus.
There's a finish line in sight, but we've got to keep running towards it.
Kate Creedon, Nine News.
So you see, even at the top of government, there are big contradictions. And one part of government is accusing the other of fake news. And they are just terribly difficult at the very top. And one wonders, what is fake news then, if at the very top they don't agree with each other? And fake news can come at the very top in government. So what we must do is, I think we have to be discerning. We have to be wise as serpent and harmless as dove in this day and age. And now I would like you to watch, not watch, but rather read a few sections of the Straits Times on the OCBC scam. And I will share with you as I go along this Straits Times report. So you hear, you see before you is Mothership. And it's a report on Mothership. My apologies, it's not Straits Time. And here is the report is, I'm a Singaporean man, 43. I lost 500,000 Singapore dollars of my life savings over 2 hours in the OCBC phishing scam. So, of course, the phishing scam is a practice of deceit and trickery. And just over 2 hours, he lost $500,000. And a little bit more details about him, 43-year-old public servant, and he came upon the OCBC thread asking me to access the website or my account will be locked. So in his fear of having his OCBC account locked, he gave some of his confidential information. And because on the screen, it looks exactly like the OCBC website. So he thought it was the bank asking for his confidential ID and PIN numbers, and he willingly gave those confidential numbers to the OCBC website. And that's it. You know, $500,000 gone within about 2 hours. Then we come to another case for what I think would be a very tragic case. Worked for 20 years, scrimped and saved. I spent 20 years of my working life saving up $500,000. Yes, it escapes me, but I was trying to look for another report where there was a report of a person who scrimped and saved also a lot of money for the sake of his child, who is a special needs child. And he's so devastated that now he does not have some money which he has saved for decades to look after his special needs child. So it is very sad and very tragic that we see in this world today that people use trickery and deceit in a very sophisticated manner to gain profit for themselves at the expense of other people. So in this vein, I would encourage all of us to be alert, and I would like to share with you what I think is important. As Christians, we must also be alert and to not to fall into all these scammers and tricksters. And if you know something, scammers use fear tactics. They will always tell you that, oh, something is wrong, you must do this. You must give me your bank numbers, or you must give me your bank PIN numbers or your OTP numbers. Something is wrong. You have to do this, or else more things will be wrong. And they put you in a state of panic and fear, and you do it, yeah, according to what they want. And so the sharing here is that God says, do not fear, for I am with you. You read Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. So do not fear, God is with us. And when fearful, don't click anything. Pause to pray. And then ask Christian friends for counsel. Because this, when this tricksters, scammers go out, you receive the message and fear strikes you. When fear strikes you, don't click anything. Pray. And then I'm sure many other people will receive the same message. And all you got to do is ask a Christian friend, did you receive the same message as this? What would you do? What are you doing with this message? It will come to light that they are all scammers. So remember, God is with you. God is with us. When fearful, don't click anything. Pause to pray. So coming back to the scripture, God told Jacob to go back to Canaan. Verse 31:3-6. And I'll read to you. We are on to the next chapter. Verse 31, verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me, changed my wages 10 times, and God suffered him not to hurt me. See how Laban victimized Jacob, reduces wages 10 times, and God had to rescue David by teaching him the speckled and spotted sheep method. And he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring streak shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle's ring streak. So if Laban says the speckled is your hire, God will provide all the speckled. If Laban says the ring streak will be his salary, God will provide all the ring streak. So God is helping Jacob because God sees Laban as the trickster. Thus God have taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Verse 9. Very aptly put. So Jacob wanted to leave because he was badly treated by Laban. And God also told him that it is time for him to go back to his home country. But Laban refused to allow him to go. So we read in verse 7, Jacob had to flee from Laban, and Laban pursued Jacob. Let me read to you. Verse 17. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. So this is planning to leave, getting all the camels and his livestock, going to leave Laban back to Canaan. And he carried away all his cattle, all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. So he's going to bring all his livestock from Padan Aram, which is in Haran, back to Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep. Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. So Laban was busy shearing his sheep, and Rachel stole his father's idols. They must be quite precious. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So Jacob and family stole away quietly without telling Laban. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river, set his face toward the mouth of Gilead. So on the way back to Canaan. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. So Laban only knew about it on the third day that Jacob fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. So it was 7 days' journey before they managed to come upon Jacob and his family. And God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So God warned Laban, don't be violent towards Jacob. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? So naturally, when Laban saw Jacob out, when he come upon Jacob, after 7 days of pursuing Jacob, he confronted Jacob, what has he done to run away with his daughters? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and did not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth, with songs, with tabret, and with harp, and has not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. And it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So Laban was accusing Jacob of stealing away with his daughters and his grandchildren, not giving him the chance to say goodbye. And he has the right to punish Jacob. But because Jacob's God appeared to him last night to tell him not to do so, he will refrain from doing so. And now, though thou wouldest needs be done, because thou saw longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore thou hast thou stolen my gods? So now it comes out with the stolen idols. So if you long to go back to your father, why did you steal my idols? Why did you steal my gods? Because here Laban is not, he's not a believer in Jehovah God. He has his own gods and he has his own idols. And recall back in scripture, Rachel stole his father's idols. It must be pretty precious, gold and precious stone, so that Rachel could maybe sell it for profit. Jacob answered Laban, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find someone, but with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern you, discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. So Jacob denied that she had stolen the idols, and he said, let the person who have stolen it die, not believing that any of his family had stolen it, and not knowing that Rachel had stolen it. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered to Rachel's tent. So Laban started to search Jacob's tents and the family's tents. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent, but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I am having my period. Sorry, ma'am, I read that again. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched but found not the image. So Rachel very shrewdly said, oh, I'm having my period. I cannot stand up. Yeah, and she was actually sitting on the idols. So Laban, the father, could not find the idols because Rachel was sitting on it. And Jacob was wroth and choked with Laban. And Laban answered and said, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? So knowing now, Jacob knew that Laban couldn't find his idols. Most likely it was not stolen. He was angry with Laban. What wrong have I done? What sin have I committed that you pursue me so viciously for the idols? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between us both. So Jacob was very righteous about it. He said, look, if you have found anything, put it on the table, put it before your people and my people. Let us see what you have found in your search. Because Laban couldn't find the idols. This 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young. In the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the droughts consumed me and the frost by night, and my sheep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee for 14 years for thy two daughters, 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction, the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight. So Jacob was now having his talk with Laban, how Laban treated him badly as Laban's servant. For 14 years he worked without anything, And if there's any lost in the sheep and goats out in the open, in the pasture, then any lost sheep and goats, Jacob bears the responsibility. Jacob will have to make good the lost sheep and goats. And Jacob was in a terrible light, in the cold, not given proper warmth, in the hot weather, not given proper shelter. So he went on his plight with Laban. So Jacob complained of being badly treated by Laban. And finally, Laban made peace with Jacob. Let me read to you the final part where Laban made peace with Jacob. And Laban said to Jacob, "Behold, this heap and behold this pillar which I have cast between me and thee. This heap be witness and this pillar be witness that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of your father, judge between us." And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread, and did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up, kissed his sons and his daughters, blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. So you see, finally Laban left. And why did he not take action against Jacob? Because you remember earlier on, God had told him the night before that he should not do so. He should not treat Jacob badly, and not necessary to treat him very well. So as a result, Laban was hands off. He dare not touch Jacob because he knows Jacob's God is with him. And what he wants is that Jacob does not take revenge against him for treating him badly. And so he said, "Let us make a vow here that you will not cross over this pillar to take revenge against me and my family, and I will not cross against this pillar to you to pursue you any further." And so by that, Laban left Jacob alone. So it is how it will be if God is with us, that wicked people, wicked bosses will leave us alone, or God will provide a way out for us. So I would like you to watch this last clip of the video. It shows how Laban has pursued Jacob and the following events that happened. Again, let me warn you of inaccurate parts in the video. The speeches between the characters are all made up by the movie makers, and you are not to treat them as true. But just be reminded of the story the time of this and the circumstances in which the events took place. So let me go to the video.
What are you waiting for?
You'll do nothing unless I tell you. Jacob, my son. What have you done? We could have talked it over, huh?
You're a very clever man, Laban. But talking to you leads to years of servitude.
But why, Jacob, did you steal my gods? How can I ignore such an insult?
Oh, gods? I didn't steal your gods.
How can you deceive me?
I would never do such a thing. Search my camp. Whoever stole your gods shall die. This I swear, by everything I hold dear.
Why have you got Joseph?
Rachel's sick.
Oh.
Getting up, Father. I am as women are once a month.
My dear, forgive me.
Have you found anything?
No. Then let us go. They are my daughters, my children, my livestock. Everything you see is mine.
But I cannot go back with you. I must go on until I reach the land promised to me by Abraham and Isaac. I worked all those years only to make myself worthy of it.
Now this is where our paths separate.
I swear I shall not pass this way again, before God.
Nor shall I cross beyond this point. If you ill treat my daughters or betray them with other women, the God of Abraham must be your judge.
So you see the encounter between Jacob and Laban, when Laban caught up with Jacob, and finally Laban had to allow Jacob to leave because God was protecting Jacob. But what is important, I would like you to know here is what is the spiritual lesson that we learn from this episode? That God protects the innocent against bad bosses. There is abusive treatment at the workplace, some of the workplaces, and God protects and provides a new place of work. I'm sure many of you have encountered this before. Many of you have worked with bad employers, good employers, reasonable, unreasonable, employers who victimize, employers who treat well employees. Many types. And I have my fair share of bad employers. And I must say that God has always been protective of me and in providing me with a new employment. Many a times, it was quite bad treatment. Some employers using vulgar language on the staff. And some are unreasonable. Not your fault, but pin it on you. Some just wants you to leave for no good reason. So whatever it is, God protects, God provides a new place of work. And I praise God and thank God that all the instances when I was pushed out of employment, I never had another place waiting for me. But after tendering the letter of resignation, I started applying and then I got a new place of work. So God has been good. Never a situation when I was without job for prolonged period of time. And I praise and thank God. God protects the innocent. So first of all, you come to God with clean heart, pure hands and clean heart. Confess your sins and make peace with God. And God will protect you. He will shield you. He will direct you in the path that you should go. And God will provide for you. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise thee and thank thee how thou hast been good to your people, to your children. Thou hast provided food on the table. Thou hast provided shelter, clothing, and many other necessities for the family, Thou hast been good, Lord, to all of us in the pandemic. And I pray, Lord, for thy mercy and grace be upon thy children. Thou will bless them and provide all their needs. I pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Stop here.